Episode 5, The Human Bottleneck, Why Healthcare Cannot Scale Without People. Welcome to the Ron Lantern Report. Last time, we talked about a change I keep seeing in healthcare. The market is still interested in innovation, but it's becoming much more disciplined about what kind of innovation actually matters. It's asking whether these tools can scale, can survive, and whether they can become part of care delivery. And I think that change is already happening. But there's another part of the story that deserves much more attention. Healthcare can invest in artificial intelligence, outpatient delivery, virtual care, and even home-based services. It can also redesign the patient pathway and use technology to make care more efficient. All of these things are important, but at the same time incomplete. None of this works without people. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the human bottleneck in healthcare. As the industry tries to build the next phase of healthcare delivery, it's running into a basic reality. Care still depends on nurses, pharmacists, physicians, billing teams, compliance staff, and operational leaders who have to make everything work every day. Now that's a lot of people. The problem is, there's just not enough of them. The Federal Health Resources and Services Administration, otherwise known as HRSA, has projected a shortage of more than 141,000 physicians by the year 2038. And HRSA expects those shortages to hit 30 out of the 35 specialties that it modeled. At the same time, there is now litigation over federal student loan limits for graduate programs that train some of these very professionals that we need. That is only part of the story that stands out. We're facing shortages in the workforce while debating how the next generation will finance its training. Those issues lead to the same operational question. Will healthcare have enough people to deliver what the industry is trying to build? When people talk about the healthcare labor crisis, the conversation usually starts with burnout, which makes sense. Burnout is real. Staffing shortages are real. Contract labor costs have been a major pressure point. Those pressures are no longer confined to staffing budgets. They now shape whether a care model, a growth plan, or an investment thesis can actually work. For anyone evaluating a healthcare platform, labor is becoming part of that core analysis. Questions like, can this business actually work with the people that we have? Can it grow without requiring an unrealistic number of clinical hours? These are not merely staffing questions, but determine whether the business model can grow at all. And that brings us directly to healthcare technology. If people are the constraint, technology has to do more than promise innovation. It has to make the work more sustainable. For years, technology was often introduced into healthcare as an add-on. It might have been a new screen, a new login, a new workflow. And in theory, that technology was supposed to make care delivery more efficient. In practice, though, it's often made the day harder for the people actually delivering the care. And that approach is running out of runway. Health systems are under too much pressure to buy technology that does not solve a real labor problem. A platform may look impressive in a pitch deck. It may have a strong story around automation or analytics or even patient engagement. But if it creates more administrative work for the people that deliver care, then it's not solving the problem the market now cares about. Technology that reduces documentation burden, supports pharmacists and clinicians working at the top of their license, or gives care teams more time when patients will become more valuable, that's what's needed. Technology that adds another layer to an already strained environment will now face a harder path. The dividing line is whether a tool creates capacity or consumes it. That same question should also shape how we think about healthcare M&A. A few years ago, a buyer may have had looked at healthcare and focused heavily on a company's revenue or patient volume, the payer mix, their compliance exposure, and of course, their growth potential, which is all getting harder to do now. The people side of the business has to be looked at directly. A buyer is not just underwriting revenue, but whether the people required to generate that revenue will still be there after the close of the transaction. And this all changes the deal analysis. A business may look attractive on paper, the market may be there, the patient demand may be there, the reimbursement may be there. Then the buyer has to look at what happens after close. Will the team stay? Can the operation absorb integration without losing key people? Is growth dependent on a staffing plan that already looks strained? If the people needed to operate the business are exhausted, hard to replace, likely to leave, then the investment story looks a lot different. There is also a developing policy side to this issue. Across the country, policymakers are being forced to revisit how healthcare professionals are trained, financed, recruited, and used. That means graduate medical education, loan repayment, rural health programs, and how quickly international trained professionals can move through the process. The country has to decide who can deliver care, where they can deliver it, and how much flexibility is needed to meet patient demand. And this isn't only a United States issue. Europe is having similar conversations around shortage, brain drain, burnout, and the need to bring more people into healthcare roles. And this is relevant for companies looking across the United States, the EU, and the UK markets. The labor question is becoming part of market access, expansion planning, and operational design. We also need to have that uncomfortable conversation around scope of practice. Instead of viewing this as a turf war, we have to look at it as a capacity solution. How do we get top of license support so physicians are not bogged down by work others can safely do? There's another point here that I think gets missed. The workforce problem has two sides. Healthcare needs more people, but it also needs an environment that allows them to succeed and stay. That requires stronger pipelines, more training capability, better recruitment, and more thoughtful immigration pathways. It also means recognizing that hiring alone is not going to fix a broken environment. Organizations have to rethink how work is organized through flexible staffing, hybrid care teams, and tools that reduce cognitive load. If the work is chaotic or unsafe or administratively overwhelming, adding staff may buy time, but it will not solve the underlying problem. The organization will keep losing capacity as quickly as it adds it. Before a healthcare organization asks how many more people it needs, it should ask a harder question. Are we using the people we already have in a way that makes sense? In a constrained labor market, waste is not financial, it's human. Every unnecessary click, duplicated process, poorly designed workflow takes time away from patient care and adds pressure to professionals who are already carrying too much. That is where the next phase of healthcare becomes very real. It's not just about what gets built, it's about whether care teams can operate it. A company can have strong technology stories. A healthcare system can have a great growth plan. A state can even pass an effective workforce bill. Everything helps. But can this actually work with the people that we have? That's the human bottleneck. Healthcare cannot innovate around people. It has to innovate through them. Yes, capital can fund platforms. Policy can expand authority. And technology can automate the task. But care still depends on people who are trained, available, supported, and willing to stay in the field. Infrastructure does not punch a time clock. people do. And that may be the real test for healthcare over the next decade. Not only what the industry can build, but whether it has the people to carry it. I'm Ron Lanton, and this has been the Ron Lanton Report. Remember, don't chase the headlines. Just understand what's behind them. That's usually where the real decisions are being made. I'll see you all next time on the Ron Lanton Report.